Hello, I'm Grant Gona, and this is the 9th episode of the Modcast, where we're going to be talking about why and how to pray. Please right now subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram, and our website will be in the link in description, as well as all of the links to our audio platforms. So to start off with how and why we pray, we're going to start with a quote from the theologian Martin Luther, which reads, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible to be alive without breathing." And so in the Christian life, prayer is rooted in everything we do, from just the basic tasks of going to church on Sunday. Everything's rooted in prayer. Whenever we go out into ministry and serving others, it's all done through prayer. And a lot of times we forget that. And this quote here by Martin Luther brings that to attention, saying that as a Christian, well, as humans, what do we need? We need oxygen to be able to breathe to keep us alive. Mm-hmm. The Christian life, it's the same thing with prayer. Mm-hmm. Whenever we're not praying, whenever we're not tuning in to fellowship with God the Father, it's not easy to get through things. Because whenever we're not staying in touch with the Lord in prayer, touching base with him all throughout the day, in Thessalonians it tells us to pray without ceasing. Whenever we're not doing that, things get shaky and things get rocky because we're not doing what we need to be doing as Christians to be able to keep things flowing steadily. Mm-hmm. And all throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus starting his days in prayer. And a lot of the disciples are usually in a rush and a hurry to get things going for that day, but Jesus continually stresses mm-hmm. prayer. And as in one of the stories in the Gospels, whenever they're going across the river, Jesus is up. What's he doing? He's praying, watching over them. And then Peter falls into the water and Jesus was in prayer and then goes, and everything you just see, everything in the life, ministry, resurrection of Christ, crucifixion, resurrection of Christ, is rooted in prayer. Mm-hmm. And I'd say today, prayer is really easily forgotten. And this is why we pray. The reason we pray is because in the Christian life, it's what gives us our fuel to take mm-hmm. care of the daily tasks we have. Mm-hmm. Whenever we're putting on the armor of God in Ephesians 6, it's being put on through prayer. Everything we are supposed to do is through prayer and supplication. And this is why we pray. We can stress it all the time, but most Christians don't pray, or mm-hmm. they don't know how to pray. And that's what we're going to be getting into here. But essentially here, this quote is telling us as humans, we need oxygen to breathe to stay alive. With Christians without prayer, we're going to fall to the enemy continually if we're not tuning into the spiritual power that God has for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how you brought up the example of Jesus, and I love one of my favorite passages in scriptures in Mark 2. After a full day of ministry, Jesus goes out, wakes up before anybody else, so he must be tired, and he knows the importance of prayer, and he meets with the Lord in the early hours of the morning. It just shows how he prioritized it and how he made time for prayer. He didn't just stumble upon time for prayer. He made it a priority in his life. And so if Jesus needed to pray, he sets a great example that obviously we need to too. And so I was just thinking, as you were talking, like, what is prayer? We hear it from a Christian perspective because we've been in Christian households, but, you know, what really is prayer? And prayer is just basic forms of communication with God, right? Even through our thoughts or through our words, communicating and then also listening to the Lord. And so that's really what prayer is. It could be a thought that you have in your head, a cry out to the Lord in your mind, or you can yell it, or you can scream it, or you could just talk to the Lord, or you could just listen to him. And that's just spending time in prayer, and it's aligning your will with the Lord's, right? Mm-hmm. You slowly, as you're praying, you are molding yourself, molding your will, molding your desires into what God wants, right? And so as we pray, it's important to pray because we start to become like the Lord. We start to see people like he does. We start to love people like he loves people, and we start to want the same things that he wants. And so that's kind of why we pray. But another one, you know, why do we pray, really? So that's one of them, right? To align our will with the Father, but also because simply he commands it. In 1 Thessalonians, he calls us to pray without ceasing, so to always be in prayer. And, you know, that's a command. And it also says that's the will of God for you in everybody's life is to be always in prayer without ceasing. And so that's a holy command. It's not a serious suggestion. It's not an optional, you know, fun task that you can do if you want to. That's a command from God to always be praying. And so what does that look like to always be in prayer? Mm-hmm. Just simply acknowledging the Lord throughout your day. I think there's certain times where we do come to the Lord, you know, in prayer, special times where we're talking to him and we're listening. But then God doesn't call us. This is the cool thing about Christianity. God doesn't call us to be monks and just to separate ourselves from society and to just be praying with him all day long. Yes, sometimes he calls us to seasons of that. He called Paul to seasons of that, mm-hmm. and before he went out to ministry. But God gives us the Bible so that we know it, and then we live it out, and we give it to other people. And we're with other people, and we give others the resources that we've received from God ourselves. And so with prayer, right, how do we bring prayer into our workplace or to our schools? I think it's just, you know, acknowledging God in the little moments, like before a conversation that you're going to have with an unbeliever or whatever, you know, in your work ethic. Lord, help me to be a good worker today. That would be God honoring to you and to my boss. And Lord, give me graceful words to say to my coworkers so that I can build them up. Or Lord, help me to be joyful so that I have a good, joyful reputation amongst my coworkers. You know, just little things like that, I think, is how we pray without ceasing. You don't have to break down into an hour prayer every time you think about the Lord, right? But it's like acknowledging the Lord throughout our day and inviting him into our lives. And so we pray because God calls us to pray in his word. Yeah, Jesus says, when you pray, he doesn't say if you pray.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knows as disciples of God, disciples of himself, that we have to be in prayer, right? It's like, it's craziness to go a full day without talking to the Lord, because we're the bride of Christ. Imagine if you went, you know, if someone went a whole day without talking to their spouse, you know, that probably wouldn't be a very good marriage. And so are you treating your relationship with the Lord like a marriage? Because it is. You're married to Christ if you're in Christ. Yeah. So that's the first reason we pray. But Grant, why don't you talk a little bit more about God's will? Because it is God's will for everybody to pray without ceasing. And so, you know, that's a question that a lot of people struggle with. And then how do we receive answers through prayer? Or what mm-hmm. are some of those? How do we find God's will?
Well, going along with that, there's the specific will of God, which is what we can find in the passage, like you read from Thessalonians, that mm-hmm. it's not a suggestion to pray, but it's a command to pray without mm-hmm. ceasing. But there's not a lot of young people and older people as well struggle with, well, what do I do this morning when I wake up? Where's the Bible verse that tells me what to do for my career choice?
Mm-hmm.
And those are questions that are great questions, and they're questions that should be asked.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to understand that there's a difference between asking for things that aren't aligned with God's will and things that do align with it. In prayer, like we're talking about, there's several definitions of what prayer is. But a good one from Charles Spurgeon is this. It reads, "True prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth." And so that's Charles Spurgeon there. And note that he says it's a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. This prayer, we need to understand, it's a conversation just like you and I are having. But going along with that, it's a transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. Psalm 139, it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's our Creator who we're speaking to. Mm-hmm. And 1 John 5:14 is touches with the will verse. It reads this. "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now note in 1 John 5:14 there, it says according to his will.
Mm-hmm.
If we ask anything according to his will. So what is that we're asking for? Well, here's some specific verses that talk about the specific will of God. Jeremiah 29:11, which talks about the plans that God has for us are not for evil. They're for prosper us and for good. Romans 8:29, which comes after the Romans 8:28 verse, which is a very well-known verse. But then following up that verse in verse 29, it talks about how the will of God is to conform us into the image of Christ. So if we're praying for, maybe if we know that our heart isn't right, say we're praying for a job promotion, that's not a bad thing. But is that job promotion going to conform us more into the image of Christ? Well, who knows where our heart is? Mm-hmm. Romans 8:29 tells us that his will is to conform us more into the image of God. So if we can think about if we receive what we are praying for, is it going to conform us more into his son? Because then we'll know if that's according to his will. Also, 2 Peter 3:9 is also talks about how it's God's desire for everyone to come to the knowledge of him, and that he's not slow to keep his promises. We know that. That's the specific will of God, is that everyone is saved. But then we have the choice of what we do with him, and that's where the aspect of love comes in. But then it doesn't tell us what to do with our life. But through discernment and prayer, we know in Proverbs it talks about whenever the Lord is the one who ultimately determines man's steps. Mm-hmm. And so we can desire so many different things, but if we're not taking everything up with the Lord in prayer, he'll give us the answers, mm-hmm. but we have to be submitting to him.
Yeah.
If we are coming out of high school or out of college and we're looking at certain jobs and that, and you know, they're all ultimately different choices that are going to lead to different paths in life, mm-hmm. taking those things up in prayer, God honors that. Mm-hmm. It talks about also in Proverbs how whenever we give him we need to give him our first fruits. So whenever we're giving the Lord our time in prayer, he's going to honor that and give us guidance and a sense of security on the choices that we decide to make. And if we're not in prayer, those things aren't going to be clear to us. And so some things that are the general will of God are everyday things, our calling in life, and certain decisions we make. Whenever we get up, there's not a Bible verse for what we put on, for what we wear, mm-hmm. For whether or not we brush our teeth. Those are decisions that we make throughout the day. But we know the specific will of God is for us to pray without ceasing, mm-hmm. is for us to be sexually pure.
Yep.
Talks about that in 1 Thessalonians, mm-hmm. for us to be sexual pure. We know all throughout the scriptures, there's a verse that tells us exactly what it is. It tells us that it's another one of his commandments are, or a specific will is, that we live according to his word in Psalm 119:9. And if we're not, those are things that we can look at and say, okay, if we do these things that are the specific will, the general will become more clear. Mm-hmm. When we adhere to the things that are specific and commanded by God within the scriptures, mm-hmm. since we know the character of God, we know that whenever we adhere and listen to those things, he'll make everything else that we have to do in our lives more clear. Yeah. And that's the beauty about God, is that he has a different path for each person, mm-hmm. and we seek and find those things through prayer. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those are two things that are usually commonly questioned in the Christian life, is, well, what do I do for this circumstance, mm-hmm. this circumstance? And mm-hmm. the answer is prayer.
Yeah. The book of John talks about God being our shepherd and then us knowing the voice of the shepherd, right? If we're truly his sheep, we're going to be able to discern the voice of the Lord. And so, you know, people ask a lot, you know, how do I know it's the Lord? Recognize God as your good shepherd, be in his word, be in prayer, and he's going to give you the discernment by the Holy Spirit to figure out which way you're supposed to go, mm-hmm. you know? And it's sometimes we overcomplicate it when it's really that simple. That's what it says in the Bible. And I think a lot of times what we're missing is that trust and that dependence on him. You know, we just want the answer, but if God just gives us the answer right away, we don't have to trust him at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if he says, hey, I'm going to give you the answer, just keep leaning into me. I want you to keep praying, keep persevering in prayer, keep laboring in prayer. You know, then it becomes more of a trust thing, because I have to wait for it, right? If you're wanting, you know, to know what you're going to do after high school, or what the Lord's will is for you to do after high school. Sometimes he does tell people freshman year and they know exactly, or sometimes it goes into the summer of their senior year. But you know, I know for that person who is a senior, if they were laboring in prayer for 4 years, man, their trust and dependence on the Lord is going to grow so much, right? And so that's mm-hmm. even a cool thing, that the Lord sometimes withholds his answer so that it teaches us how to depend on him.
Yeah.
And then we'll know how to discern the good shepherd's voice. So that's pretty cool. And so another way, another reason why we pray, a second one I would say is because a second one I would say is because prayer changes things.
Yeah.
In Matthew 7, It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So there it is. God has ordained it in the universe somehow in a sovereignty. And I'm quoting or paraphrasing a little bit from John Piper. But he says, in God's universe, he has sovereignly ordained it to where our prayers change things. Not because we are the ones that are so good or that we have power at all, but because we're calling upon God who has infinite power, infinite wisdom to do what he wants. We're calling him to act, to move, and we're just agreeing with him in those things, mm-hmm. right? And so that's pretty cool. If you want something, I feel like Christians, we have this massive weapon in our pocket against the enemy because we're in the spiritual battle and we don't utilize it ever.
Yeah.
We have the God of legions of angels who spoke the earth into existence, who's never had a start, never will have an end, is outside time and space. We have that same God for us, behind us, wanting to do these things, wanting to gain victory in the world over sin and over death, and yet we don't call on him to act or move ever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, do we even believe that the Lord, one, is real, or that, you know, two, that he's wanting to work, or three, that he's like capable of doing it? Because if you really, truly believed all three of those things, how often would we be in prayer? We'd be in prayer all the time, right? That God is always constantly moving and working in our lives as we call upon him through prayer. We'd be praying all the time. And so I think that we should be praying for, you know, our faith to increase. And it's not really the amount of faith that we have, but that we would rely more in God. And a good way to do this, kind of talking about the how, is keep a prayer journal, right? Yeah. Some people give up in a prayer because they didn't get it after a week of praying for it. And yet God is outside time and he has perfect timing. He's never late. And so maybe you pray for something, you write it down in your journal, you forget about it, and 7 years down the road, God answers that prayer. Man, you never would have remembered that if you didn't write it down. And so it's such a cool faith-building exercise to do that and to look back through your prayer journals and to see kind of how the Lord has answered, either yes or no. And I love, I saw Greg Laurie put it like this: if we knew everything that God knew when he said no to your prayers, it's for your good.
Mm-hmm.
Because God always acts for our good, for the child of God's good. And so, you know, sometimes we get really excited about something and the Lord says no. He's not trying to be a killjoy. He's not trying to take away our fun. He's doing that for our best. And so we trust him with him and we can rejoice in that, even in a no, because God knows that that's the best for us. And he's all wise. He has all knowledge. And so we can trust him in that. And so I want to encourage you guys to utilize prayer. Ask, seek, and knock, because, you know,
it's our greatest weapon.
It's our greatest weapon you can't have unless you ask. So ask, please, guys. I'm praying, or I'm begging you, pray big prayers. God's not confined to, you know, small little things, and pray small prayers too. But I'm saying God's not confined by how hard something is. Everything's the same amount of difficulty to him because he has all power. So it doesn't matter. Right? He can move mountains. He can do whatever he wants. He can strike down thousands of people. He can bring to life people. He brought Jesus back from the dead. You know what I mean? Like, he can do literally whatever he wants. And so let's call upon that God who has all power, who's behind us, who's for us, who's all good, to change and to move in this world. And so that's a huge weapon that we're not utilizing. And so that's another reason why we pray, because it does things in the universe, which is crazy. And it's not because of anything that we do, but because God is so good and he's willing to work.
All right, so that's why we should pray. And as Beck also said, it's our greatest weapon. And we know that we're fighting with weapons that are not of this world, but that are from the spiritual realm. And one other quick thing to note, though, is a lot of times we're talking about how God, there can be the question raised, well, if God's outside of time and knows everything, how are our prayers changing things? Well, just as an analogy, think of this. If I was coming home to watch the Steelers game, and Beck sent me the score of the Steelers game, and I already knew what the score of the Steelers game was. I know all the plays that are going to happen because Beck spoiled it for me. And I go home and I watch it. Did those players in that game not have the free will to make their choices for the moves they wanted to make because I knew? No. God created us, and we still have the choices we want to make going about what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's how prayer truly can change things, is God does know what we're going to do, but he gives us the choice. Mm-hmm. And he knows those things because he is God. Mm-hmm. And so now moving into the how we pray, there's many places to look. And Matthew 6 is one of those places, which is the famous Lord's Prayer that everyone knows, Our Father. Our Father. Mm-hmm. And it's also called the model prayer because we're to model our prayer after that. And just another place to note is John 17 is the disciples' prayer. And found in the Gospel of John, where Jesus prays for the disciples as he sends them out prior to his crucifixion. We'll dive into that probably another time because there's so much to get out of there. But just looking at the model prayer in Matthew 6. So starting off, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to pray for, as we were talking about earlier, the will of God, for his will to be brought forth in our life. And whenever we're continually doing this, we will see things change. God talks about how prayer can move a mountain, how it just takes the size of a mustard seed of faith. Mm-hmm. And I forget who it is that says the quote, but we see so much evil in our world in that. And it's because as Christians, we try to take care of a lot of the problems with our voice. Mm. But the quote is talking about how if we really want to see change, we ought to fight with our voice from our knees in prayer to God. Mm-hmm. And that's how, if we really want to see change, like especially right now, everything we're seeing with the race injustices and just all of the evil all throughout the world. As the church, I think this is a great platform with all the evil and suffering to have a voice to show that, you know what, we have the answers to these things that are hard. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, also in the Lord's Prayer is to pray for the will of God to be brought forth, to give us our daily bread. And notice how it says daily, not give me my monthly bread. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we're so anxious about what is to come. God will give us the resources we need in that day. In the wilderness, you see how God gives them the manna, and they were to take no more than they needed because God will give us the grace that we need for that day. And that's what's beautiful about God and why we ought to thank him, is because he gives grace over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Whenever we slip up and we feel condemned, we know in Romans 8:1 that we're not condemned because we're in Christ. And it's so beautiful because God will never run out of grace. He can keep infusing us with the grace that we need each and every day, every time we slip up, because his death on the cross covered our sins for past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of why we ought to praise his name. And we ask for God to forgive us our debts, because on that cross, we need to remember what that was for. It was so that we could be forgiven. And Paul talks about in Romans how it's sheer stupidity to continue in sin. It makes no sense to think, because there was lots of confusion in the early church of, okay, well, if this man died for my sins, I can just do whatever I want and continually ask for forgiveness. But no, that's sheer stupidity. We're supposed as Christians to be the light in this world and live as if we'll never sin again, because God has truly equipped us with the ability to live lives that are pleasing to him through his son's atoning death on the cross. But we can't do that if we're not even asking him for that forgiveness, because he washes us. It talks about in how Isaiah in the prophecies that we'll be washed white as snow. Mm-hmm. Our sins are as dark as scarlet, but we're washed white as snow because of the blood of Christ. And so continuing in Matthew 6, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're also to forgive others who wrong us. Jesus stresses how we are to forgive others, even though how much they wrong us. And that's something that we see a lot is in the Christian community. What makes us stand out is we're able to forgive those people who are against the sins against us that seem unforgivable. And I forget where it was in PA, but there was the Amish church, and someone shot up the school in the Amish church, And whenever it was brought, the man was brought forth in his family, they forgave him.
Mm-hmm.
That forgiveness is radical. Mm-hmm. It can't be stressed enough, the love that Christ have. And whenever we forgive others, it really shows others, wow,
mm-hmm.
something's different about this person. And then that gives you the chance to be able to say, yeah, because do you know all the wrong that I've done, and Christ is still able mm-hmm. to call me blameless because of the death of his son on the cross. And so moving on to verse 13 in Matthew 6, after, as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so this is the ending here. It reads, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one being Satan and all of the forces of evil, into leading us, to not lead us into temptation. Every morning when we wake up and go out, there's various stumbling blocks there just ready to trip us up. And if we're not in prayer, talking about how we pray, this is how we pray. We pray in a manner that keeps our minds focused and away from temptation.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not praying for us to not be caught up by the enemy, then we're going to fall to him easily, and mm-hmm. victory is going to be achieved mm-hmm. on the opposing side. And that's another thing we need to understand, is the enemy is much stronger than us and is ready to bring us down.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not equipped in prayer. And so we pray for the Lord to deliver us from the evil one. And then finishing off, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, coming back to praise and understanding, God's kingdom, heaven, is to be given glory and forever, because this is the eternal kingdom that we enter into. Whenever we call upon the name of Jesus and our... Whenever we call in the name of Jesus and are called clean, we're unguilty before the name of God, we are entering into the eternal kingdom that God has established before the foundations of the earth. And that is to give rejoicing. And so that is just a model of how we pray. We could dig into it a lot more. Mm-hmm. And we're not this here, right here. There's many other ways how we can pray, but we can pray with others. In Matthew, when two or three are more gathered, we know that God is among us.
Mm-hmm.
But how we pray is, we ought to give God thanks. And it also talks about in the Gospels how we're not just supposed to think that whenever we speak tons of words like the Pharisees and do it in public. No, we ought to pray also in private,
mm-hmm.
because whenever we are praying in private and have our own alone time with God, it enriches whenever we go out into ministry amongst others.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just a brief outline. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
if you have anything to add.
Yeah, I would just say, going along with Jesus talking about the Pharisees, the model prayer isn't for something for us just to mumble or to recite without any heart or meaning behind it. And so I would say, how we pray with some weight behind it, with mm-hmm. some meaning, some conviction, some belief, some faith behind it. You know, James talks about in the first chapter how we shouldn't pray. We shouldn't be asking God without faith or with double-mindedness,
mm-hmm.
right? Have full assurance in God. That's how we should be praying, knowing that God can and that God will do what he wants, and he can bring about change in this world. And so, my biggest advice when I'm saying, you know, how to pray with some meaning behind it. Don't just recite words, some meaningless words, because God looks at the heart, not just at the lips, right? Jesus says to the people, you know, you praise me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. You can worship, you can pray to God with your lips. You can worship God with your lips, mm-hmm. but your heart still be far. And so don't miss out on that. Bring your heart near to the Lord. Have him mold it and shape it through prayer. Don't just bring your lips to the table. And so that would be my advice. And I think that's a good summary.
And so, yeah. So closing out there, how we're praying, also just one more thing to add, is just pray those big prayers that we were talking about earlier. Pray mm-hmm. for God to use you,
mm-hmm.
and also pray for God to bring to the surface the areas of our hearts that aren't crucified to him. Yes, because talking about the specific will of God again, it's for us to take up our crosses daily. Mm-hmm. So ask him, what are the parts of our heart that aren't crucified to him mm-hmm. yet? Because he wants to sanctify us more and more into the image and likeness of his son. And yeah, that's just some general ways why to pray. And our hope here is that this does give you some insight into prayer, and that you begin mm-hmm. to pray more. It enriches your prayer life. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, thank you for joining us on the 9th episode of the Modcast. As we said earlier, please subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram, and the website and all links to audio platforms will be up soon. Thank you and have a great week.